Today on Real Radio.
Now, if I depart from my Bible and tune in to modern day heresy, there's going to be some kind of a problem here. Well, the reason why your brother died is because he didn't have enough faith in God. Oh, find that in Scripture.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament letter written by James. We're in the last chapter, chapter 5 of the book of James, verses 13 through 18. Well, they contain some forthright and honest language about some of the suffering that we will likely endure, even as believers. But James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, also reminds us that we are to take these issues to our Maker and Redeemer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Suffering, Prayer, and the Will of God.
Just after last service, somebody was walking out of the building, and we so much appreciated this, but he had his phone off during the service and turned it on walking down the hallway. Well, his phone rings, and I'm talking to somebody. His phone rings, and I immediately reached in my pocket to grab my phone. I've been programmed by stress. Something go on in your life, and it's like, look, when a beeper goes off, everyone, I've seen you do it here. It says in the bulletin, put your beeper on vibrate. Well, you forget, or it goes off. The beep, 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 and everyone, it's so funny from this vantage point. People are going, everyone's slapping their pants. Where is it? Is it mine? Stress. Everybody's under it. The Christian's response in life's difficulties is anyone stressed? Sure. What do? You call all your friends first. No. You call your best friend first. No. What does it say? Let him pray. Implying the stress, the suffering of life, listen, will become manageable, easily dealt with. We'll have victory over if we do what, people? Pray. But we don't. We get into a situation, oh my gosh, I've got a call, and you get on the phone. Don't do that anymore. Stop it. When pressure comes, and the pressure we live in from day to day, pray first. Go to God first. Listen, get your pen ready. I'm going to give you a really neat phone number. It's really cool. No, truly, really, it's a great phone number. It's 1-800-JEREMIAH-33-3. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call me and I will answer. How do you like that? The thing is, we don't call him. He says, call me and I'll answer. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know anything about. You see, we miss out on a lot of things because the notice comes in the mail and, oh no! And we're running around like a loony, all stressed out. And God says, just, excuse me, I sent that in the mail to you to get you to fall to your knees to talk to me. But we immediately get the ball going. We're movers and shakers in this world, we are. What's moving? What's shaking? God says, just pray. Are you stressed? I am. Let's pray. The Christian is to go to prayer. Why? Oh, just because we have promises like this available to us for real. Psalm 27:5 says, for in time of trouble, stress, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he'll hide me. And he will set me up on a high rock. Doesn't that sound good? He'll hide me in his pavilion, and he'll hide me in his sanctuary, and he'll set me on a high rock. And you might be thinking, yeah, he'll hide me in the pavilion and hide me in the sanctuary, and the thought to be set up on a high rock is so everybody can shoot arrows at me. No. That word means after he has hidden you, he sets you on a place where you cannot be touched any longer. You're almost like Teflon. It just goes right off because you're constantly in fellowship with him. In all of life's difficulties, every one of us need to be reminded to go to God in prayer. Driving down the freeway, at work, raising that hammer, or cooking up that meal, or whatever we're doing, we need to be talking to him. Why? Because he's promised to hide me in his pavilion. Are people coming after you? He's promised to hide you and then set you in a high place. Psalm 37, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous, remember those who put their trust in God, is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of stress and trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because he trusts in him. What a great promise that is. And there's a difference to those who put their rest in the Lord, who decide, you know what, I'm suffering. And Lord, I'm going to call out to you and I'm going to let this stressful situation be yours. Now, the hard thing is getting through to your head. If we can get through by the Spirit through your head today and get this into your heart, we're all going to win. We're going to be better fathers and mothers and aunts and uncles and citizens and everything if we just do this. It's getting a new way of thinking into our minds. See, you and I think this is some fluffy little sermonette to like, you know, puff me up for a moment, but tomorrow's Monday and I got that meeting at 6 o'clock. Listen, this is real. A man came up to me after last service and he said, with his lip quivering, he said, you talked about suffering. He said, my marriage is on the rocks, shot. And I said, it didn't just crash into the rocks, you know. He said, what? I said, it didn't crash into the rocks. It's been heading that way for a long time, hasn't it? Yeah. And I said, now it's a crisis, isn't it? Yeah. And I said, you know, you come on in next week for biblical guidance, you and your wife. But I want to tell you something right up front right now. We're not going to tell you anything new. You've been here a long time. We're not going to tell you anything new. I said, you've been praying at home? No. You guys been reading your Bible at all? No. I said, this is how you get to where you're at. You just don't wake up and, oh my gosh, look, during the night, our marriage hit the rocks. Oh, no. It takes a long time of neglect, a lot of neglect to get to that point. Under stress, pressure, there's a wonderful promise to those who are giving it over to God. In Psalm 55, verse 22, listen to this. Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved, to be knocked off their foundation. And I thought about that. And I thought about those who I know who have this deep, abiding walk with God. Do they suffer? Yes. But are they victorious? You betcha. Because they're giving it over to God. You see, Mr. or Mrs. business person, homekeeper, whatever, I've got to grab my own bootstraps and pull myself out of this miry clay myself. Who's going to help me? Get out of that frame of thinking. God will help you. If you'll back up and give him the wheel, he'll do it. You see, for most of us, I'm just talking to the men right now. Most of us guys, we have so much pride. We got to have the wheel. We got to have the thing. And we steer the ship right into the iceberg or whatever the case might be. But as long as we're in control, God says, let go. And I'll sustain you. Something about people who just learn to give it, give that suffering back over to God. Three things, jot them down. Three things to look for. And listen, you can see them in people's lives. And when they're not there, you can see the results of these three things that I find very interesting about those who just cast their burdens over to the Lord. First thing is that they have a serenity about them. There's just a serenity. Well, they may be going 1,000 miles an hour, but there's just, the Lord's going to take care of it. The Lord's going to do it. Not to worry about it. They can grow fingernails. They're not stressed. There's a serenity. It's cool. It's fine. God knows. Another thing I've noticed about these kind of people is that they have a different perspective about how they look at things in life. There can be 10 people going, how are we ever going to go through this great wall? How are we going to get through this thing? And the guy who's resting in the Lord walks up and says, have you tried the doorknob there on the gate? No. I mean, it's 15 feet high. Well, yeah, but did you try the doorknob on the gate? No. They've got a whole different perspective because God's talking to them. He's able to get through to them. Thirdly, I notice that they have an influence about them with people. They're peaceful, they're calm, and you know what? That's pretty attractive, if you ask me. There's this peace, there's this maturity about those who just give it back over to God. I want to be around them. I want to be around those kind of people. It's good for me. Maybe I can learn some of this. There's a real calm. Are you under stress? Then pray. Are you grinding your teeth at night? Are you having cold sweats at night from the financial pressure? Pray. Oh, what's God going to do? Open up like, you know, a cloud and have it. Yeah, actually, I know a guy in this church where God had a $17,000 check fall out of the sky and hit him. I mean, it didn't hit him. It landed in his mailbox. Nobody knew where it came from. Nobody even knew about his problem. Unmarked. Nobody knew. Nobody knew a thing. The guy was in debt up to his ears, $17,000, and nobody knew a thing. He met with me to how can I tell my wife for $17,000? Nobody knew. 3 days later, he hadn't told a soul yet. How you doing? You tell her? I haven't told her. I can't. I don't know. He goes out to the mailbox because he was unemployed. He goes out to the mailbox. There's a check. A cashier's check. $17,000. I can't explain that. Oh, yeah, is God going to do that to me? He might. But I don't know if he oughta. Psalm 62, verse 6. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. Praise the Lord, huh, for that? Isn't that great? He says here, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Now listen to this carefully, and I wish we could just stay on this portion of the scripture the whole time. The Christian's response to life's difficulties. This word implies that all of us are having suffering and having difficulties. But is anyone cheerful? The word cheerful here is an interesting word. It's infused. It's something that comes into the inside of us. You know, if you go to the hospital, they'll put the little needle there, and they'll infuse into you, say, glucose or whatever you need, saline, whatever the deal is. They'll fill you with what you need. This word means internally, God will infuse into you a cheerfulness, even in the midst of death. Even in the midst of suffering or pain, there's this infusion from God from above, but it's internal. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's miraculous. Can't explain it. By the way, this word is an interesting word because from it we get an English word. And this English word, by the way, listen, is a radical word if you know the meaning of it. But it's only truly, in its truest definition, it's only reserved for certain people in the English dictionary. The word is enthusiasm. Not I'm having a spasm, but enthusiasm. Watch, I say that for this reason. Did you know if you get Webster, you know, Noah and Daniel Webster were awesome born-again Christians. You ought to read their writings. God put the burden upon Noah and Daniel's heart to create a dictionary. Did you know that? Nobody could talk to each other on the East Coast. It was driving people nuts. It's really a great story about those two guys. The word enthusiasm is rooted in Greek. En is the word inside. Thu is God. Asm is asm, action, activity. To be an enthusiast is to have God in you and under his activity. That's to be an enthusiast. We cannot be any other type of enthusiast. but we'll use the word. Oh, what are you into? Oh, I'm into, you know, airplanes. Oh, you're an airplane. You're an aviation enthusiast. You know, we'll say that, but that's not accurate English. That's not good English, unless your God is airplanes. Huh? Oh, I'm a car enthusiast. That's impossible, unless your God is a car. And if that's the case, it governs your action. It governs your thinking. It governs everything you do. You live for it. See, enthusiasm is internally God's action. Only the Christian, out of all the people on the face of the earth, according to the Bible, only the Christian can be enthusiastic. Is anybody among you cheerful? What? Let him sing psalms. And the word implies publicly, both privately. Should we sing to him in private? If you've ever heard me sing, you would say, please, Jack, continue to sing in private. But it also means in public. That's what's so beautiful about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, about the assembling together, the church. We are to gather together on Sunday morning. And as we see, read Hebrews 10, verse 25 carefully, as we see the end of the days approaching, the end of the world, we're to gather together more and more. That's why we want to make sure that every night of the week there's some place for you to go. And more and more. So we can sing together, joyfully, together. You know, the Lord has brought some incredible talent to this church. In the last 6 months or so, there are people that God has brought in here, just incredible talent. And you love it. And they're up here, and they're singing, and it's like, oh, man, what a great song. Oh, their voice is so beautiful. Well, what are you doing listening like that? It's not for you. We're singing to Him. It's our worship to Him, and we do it publicly. Now, can you imagine if we did this literally today? Really, really, Christians. We should be enthusiastic. You see guys running around the football field. They're all patting each other on the rear end. That's pretty intimate, if you ask me. You notice TV watching? Everyone's, hey, buddy, all right, good job. Pretty enthusiastic. Hey, everybody's up. We go to the California Motor Speedway, and we see Jeff Gordon do his thing. He's, all right, we're screaming, right. And we come to church. Now, look, I know, and the Holy Spirit, if I'm under the influence of the Spirit teaching, He's not going to interrupt Himself with a word of knowledge or somebody blurting out in tongues. He won't interrupt Himself that way. There's times for that. But there needs to be a vitality to our true relationship with God. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing psalms. That is music. Listen, some of you are going to find this offensive, or your friends might. The word psalms, to sing God psalms, means to vocalize to Him with your body, songs of praise, accompanied by instruments. Psalm 150. They got drums in there. Psalm 150 has got electric guitars in there. I had somebody write me. They said, I'm never going to church again. First thing they had wrong was your church again. It's not mine. It's not your church. It's His church. Never going to the church again. You had an electric guitar. The guy... He used an electric guitar in the service. You know what my answer to that is? We ought to take this stuff on top of the roof and turn up the volume. That's what we ought to do. Some people are going to walk into heaven and go, what's all the noise? Read about heaven. But Psalm 150's got the drums and it's got the timbrels, the flutes and all these things going. The high-sounding cymbals. You know what that is? That's that thing. You know? This thing. And it's like, oh, my gosh, can we do that? Just wait till we get to heaven. I don't know if I'm going to like it much there. God will change you. We need to be enthusiastic. Opportunity. Tell people. Anybody cheerful? Let him sing psalms, both privately, publicly. Many of us... We'll go to lunch in some way or fashion or brunch this morning, and there's your opportunity, you know? Are you suffering? Yeah, we're all under pressure. Is any among you cheerful? You get that infused inside thing? God's real. You know that sense? It's like, oh my gosh, I know life is just terrible. In the sanctuary, it's hot, and I'm suffering. But listen, we can tell people enthusiastically. We'll go to breakfast and the waitress or the waiter is going to say, how you doing today? Hello, that's an open door. How you doing today? Tell them. I just came from church. They're going to think you're nuts for bringing that up, by the way. But say, try it after service. I just came from church. Oh, that's nice. They'll say, that's nice for you. That's nice. So you know what? God is real. Man, hallelujah. I'll take the biggest thing you got. You know, God is awesome. Just say God's awesome. Jesus loves you. Did you know that? Take a track with you and leave them in your car. When you go to restaurants, leave a track with a generous tip. I think Christians ought to be the biggest tippers in the world. Don't you dare stiff people. Don't leave a track if you're going to stiff somebody. Don't blame them. Those Christians. I know a Christian brother who walked into a restaurant and behind the cash register was a bounced check and it had the dove on it. And that guy said, you know, pull that off the wall. I'll pay that bill right now. Give me that thing. That's excellent. Let people know. But they'll think I'm a fool. They already think you're a fool. They just haven't told you. Give them opportunity. Give them the opportunity. Is anybody cheerful? Let the world know about it. Amen. You bet, amen. Hallelujah. Let them know. Next thing he now says, is any among you sick? Now listen, people, this word sick is a very, very serious word. It means to be at the brink of death. It's not a cold. It's not the flu. Honestly, I'm not making light of these things. If you might be sick right now, yes, you can call for prayer. Yes, we'll pray for you if you have a plugged up head. That's fine. That's okay. But that's not the word he used here. He uses the word sick. The word means near death. Listen, Paul wrote to the church, he said, Trophimus, he wanted to come, but I had to leave him sick in Miletus. He was sick nigh unto death. That's old King James for. He was really close to dying. I left him there. Why didn't Paul just heal him if he was so spiritual? God doesn't always heal, even when it's at the point of death. I can't wait to get to heaven. Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. Everybody been in church. Oh, we praise the Lord. We're going to go to heaven. Singing songs. Lord, here we come. Coming to heaven. And the Lord says, okay, I know you really want to be with me real bad. So here you go. I'm going to have your spleen blow up or something, you know. Oh, my gosh. Well, what's happening? You're going to heaven. Well, I know I've been talking about it, but... Well, how are you going to get there? You're going to have to die or get raptured. I'd rather vote for rapture any moment. Now, define. But if we're not going to get raptured, people, we're going to die.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Suffering, Prayer, and the Will of God. It's a valuable lesson in how we believers are to view and handle the suffering that comes our way. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18 is the basis for our study. And again, the title is Suffering, Prayer, and the Will of God. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament letter of James. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, when you get a chance, visit realradioactive.org and click on the banner Words to the Wise. Now, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can read online. You can also read archived Words to the Wise if you'd like. And you can also sign up to receive them by email. So again, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and then click on the banner Words to the Wise. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. And here's the mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.